say yes and no, because you'll find that some SMEs are companies that have a small factory in Boksburg and they employ 5 people and they develop bulletproof vests, something like that. Their person is already an OEM on that particular product. So what we will actually do in that particular product is that we make sure that the product meets the specification of the military spec and it meets the specification by an independent board like SADS. And then we will, to give that person scale, we will say that the product from the army bases on in that region needs to be bought from there, so that you do not have this army base buying from this person and then a different army base buying from that person, especially where the product has been proven. So that is what we will do. And then obviously on other SMMDs, you find they will, it's normally a niche. A person will choose what they want to do. That's why I made an example with PC board. The PC board will go into many different systems, but the OEM is the person that does the integration. The OEM of Midal is the Nelson Dynamics. However, the components that go into there comes from 632 different companies in within South Africa and abroad, and some of them are controlled by them. So he will be sort of an OEM of a subsystem or a component that goes in there. And once the product has been proven, the product will be used and qualified together at systems level. In other words, when Pinel does the integration, they will integrate with that particular product in place, which will then give the SMME the status of an OEM at the subsystem level. And then there was a portion of SMME turnover by DOD. What we normally do is that we will encourage companies to utilize what we call dual use, especially in because, like Sector 14, defense technologies are applicable in a number of areas. We had a company here that was in a satellite manufacturing, satellite technology development and manufacturing space. And they're now doing work for DNL, but they're also doing work for SANSA, the South African National Space Agency. And they're balancing it very well, because you find that they can sustain the production line based on what the requirements for DNL and ourselves and whoever DNL is selling to, as well as a different industry application in the yellow fleet, for example, in the army, they use a whole lot of earth-moving equipment that is used in the mines. But we use exactly the same. It's commercial off the shelf. We don't necessarily change it. So if a company has that ability, we encourage them to, because it creates that extra revenue stream and therefore financial sustainability. How do you audit subcontracting? That has already addressed this. And then there was the issue of the indirect. I think this came from Honorable Mlaotsi, the indirect spending of SMME. National Treasury actually kept the subcontracting to 25% before it declared it. If it's above 25%, then you must declare it. And obviously your BE rating will be affected by the BE rating of whoever you're subcontracting to. That is why we normally just use the same ballpark figure, so up to 25% of subcontracting. But what happens is that each project has an SLA, and each project has what we call an IPT, an integrated project team. So, and performance track there, especially when we're talking about a service-based kind of relationship, not a product-based, because services, you need to track progress through milestone documentation and all those things. So you'll find that when we're discussing on the SLA meeting in the RPT, progress is tracked through that. That's the 25% were outsourced. And obviously the SMME representative forms part of the IPT. So in as far as making sure that the quantity of work that was put aside when SMME is adhered to, we can do that through making sure the SLA deliverables that are due to SMME. But like I said, we do not audit them, so we just monitor. And then invoice verification is covered. Okay, then there was this issue of education and training. We have a lecture program. A lecture program is where we have identified competencies that are required in defense, and we have partnered with universities on it. For example, we just introduced, together with the Department of Electronics Engineering in University of Pretoria, we introduced a master's in radar and electronic warfare, an MH degree. And then in that committee, our people sit, CIR sits, and it's chaired by a professor at UP. So what happens within that interaction is that we make sure that whatever the students are taking for post-grad programs are actually in line with the technology that we're currently developing. We did the same with language interpretation systems in the University of Fort Hare. We did the similar thing in UK and with robotics. So we have this program, and we have currently this year we have 63 PhDs and MEd or MSc students that we are actually funding through this program. And the projects that they are working on are directly linked to the Technology Development Master Plan of DoD, which stipulates the technology that we're going to be developing in the next 15 years that talk to our capability requirements within the KNDS. So it's a seamless process. So, and then I think the issue of cooperative assessment is that they've explained that we haven't really dealt with cooperatives. There was an issue from Honorable Mubaz about, do we have a problem with people resigning only to start businesses? Sometimes that can be good, sometimes that can be bad. It's good in the way that you find most generals, obviously generals will retire at 60 and they feel really very fresh, so to speak, so they can still operate. So the companies will let them sit in their boards or let them be their representatives in some area. And the benefit of that is obviously that general with 40 years experience in the military actually have very good understanding of operationalization of the capabilities that are developed and can add a whole lot of input in terms of interacting with the clients and making sure that the requirements are met. So this is why you find there's quite a few of them that either academia will absorb them or industry will absorb them, but they will stay within the defense continuity so that they can plow back their knowledge. We don't have a problem normally with collusion of companies. We have a problem with consolidation. In other words, a company will buy another company that manufactures a subcomponent of what they are doing. And in that case, that's when we do not want it, because we do not, if there are five tiers in a value chain of participation, from a person that manufactures the balls to a person that integrates the ship, we do not want the person that integrates the ship to now go and compete with the person that manufactures the balls or buy that person to consolidate and control the entire value chain. So this is why we will create specialists within clusters with the assistance of AMT, which is the industry association. And I think the issue of selling and stuff in Africa has been addressed. I think that's all, chapters. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Dr. Grover and the team. We don't have enough ways of thanking you. And we do wish you well in the endeavor. And we do request that we continually relate, because we believe that we can mutually benefit, especially in the area of cooperatives, the theory of cooperatives, etc. Because it's important that when it's done with the right theoretical understanding. Otherwise, it tends to fail halfway in the journey. But thank you very much. And because time is not on our side, I would ask that we do two things at the same time, that we have a break of about 10 minutes just for us to be able to dish, and then when we come back, we continue with the Department of Energy. Thank you very much. Let's have that 10-minute break. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.